Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today, Ron Cheddar lives in Rapid City. Prior to his time hunting and fishing in the Black Hills, however, one of his leadership roles was serving as director of the U.S. Peace Corps. He was only the third director in Peace Corps history to have also been a Peace Corps volunteer. Cheddar was confirmed as director in 2006. Under his leadership, the organization experienced a 30-year high in volunteer numbers. This morning, you might have caught up with Ron Cheddar at the NUMAD Group's Morning Fill-Up, sponsored by the Bush Foundation at the Garage in Rapid City. We're pleased to welcome him now to In the Moment from our SDPB studios in Rapid City. Ron Cheddar, welcome.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Lori. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Did you have a good morning at the Morning Fill-Up?
We had a great morning. There were so many excellent questions. I met several return volunteers, which was very special, and an excellent series of dialogues about a number of aspects of the Peace Corps and how it is today.
So lately, it seems to me, we hear a lot about activism. We hear a lot about grassroots political activism. We don't hear as much about volunteerism as we used to. Is that something that sort of ebbs and flows as, communities have an appetite for volunteering and then it goes away?
Yeah, it does ebb and flow. And I think there's a lot of issues that drive that, both up and down. And you're right. We don't hear a lot about it these days, certainly compared to the John F. Kennedy years back in the early 60s, which is where the beginning of the Peace Corps started. And throughout the years, it's ebbed and flowed as well, as far as number of applications, excitement about it, and the work that it does abroad. But what has not ebbed and flowed is the need for the types of work that the Peace Corps does around the world.
What was the initial, mission for it under in the JFK era? What was it? What was the Peace Corps trying to accomplish?
Well, the Peace Corps back then, Sergeant Shriver was the first director appointed. He was a brother-in-law of the president, and they had three goals. One was to share the expertise of American, not necessarily just young people, but it certainly did attract the people right out of college, but people all the way up into their 60s, to take a skill abroad as requested by host countries. It varied all over the place, but health, community development, teaching, agricultural work were part of the large number of requests. The second goal was not only to take that skill and help communities with that skill, but to share America. You live at the grassroots level of the people. I like to say you laugh with them, you cry with them, and you celebrate with them. And that's certainly what you do because you're totally submerged into the culture that you're working in. So you really give the people a feel for Americans. And then the third goal was to bring that all back home, the understanding of the cultures and the various exchanges and experiences that you've had that really helps you understand, even today, a lot of what's going on around the world. So those three goals were established by Sergeant Shriver when the Peace Corps was created. And they exist today almost verbatim of what they were back then.
How did your time as a volunteer in the Peace Corps and the work that you did there, tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us some of those lessons that you brought into leadership as you grew into adulthood?
Well, my wife and I were married at the time, and we still are, by the way, and decided that we could do this, what I used to call the work thing, forever, and let's not just see the world, but try to do some good out there. We were Peace Corps volunteers in India in the late 1960s, and our role, our responsibility, was community health and community health development, with a focus on family planning, quite frankly. And so that was the job we were given, and what we were to do there is to educate people, to encourage people to have smaller families. India was known to have large families. But when you're a Peace Corps volunteer living in a community, you also have the opportunity to do whatever the needs are in that particular community. So we did many different things in the village and in the county to help people develop, and we tried to stay focused on health development. Years later, I became director of the Peace Corps, And certainly those early experiences as a volunteer helped in understanding the issues and the challenges and the opportunities that existed as director. And the Peace Corps is still flourishing and doing well today.
The late 1960s in India is not exactly a text or email away. So what were some of the challenges of doing that work at that time? Specifically, I'm thinking about leaving it behind and leaving the people that you met and saying goodbye and not really having contact with them easily again.
Yeah, that is exactly correct. And first of all, back then when you left America to go serve in a remote village in a place like India or anywhere else in the world, you knew that the communication with your family back home was going to be minimal to non-existent. There was no telephone availability for us, and the only thing we had was aerograms back and forth, which was a kind of our flow of information. So the challenges of adjusting there are probably different than they are today, and certainly with the cell phone and the cell phone prevalence in countries such as India and the continent of Africa, it really changes that dynamic. Leaving behind, of course, is the challenge and the opportunity. And you never know where the accomplishments are going to be sustained, but they do. And it's clearly the relationship and the friendships you have with the people in your community and the contact you keep with those people is the richness of the experience. And Nancy and I clearly had those kinds of experiences. Even to this day, we have friends, dear friends in India. Some of them come over here from time to time, and we have the opportunity to show them America. And through all of that, there's a clear cultural understanding of the differences and the likenesses and appreciation for their culture versus as well as our culture.
Is there a season of life for volunteering? You mentioned, being married and thinking we've got a long time for work life. And then I know you did a lot of work as a director of the U.S. Peace Corps and bringing those 50 and older back into the fold and sort of saying these folks have something unique and fulfilling to offer as well. Talk a little bit about volunteering for something like the Peace Corps at different stages
Yes.
of your own life.
Yeah, I was in the securities industry for a number of years, and one of the things we paid attention to was demographics, because the growth of, like, the baby boomer generation was something we used to pay a lot of attention to. As I was being considered to be director, I thought, wow, why wouldn't we try to attract the baby boomer generation back into the Peace Corps or into the Peace Corps? Just think they could bring 30-plus years of experience and expertise and maturity to the scene, and they could be enriched themselves by the cultural experiences that they would have. So we launched that initiative early in my tenure as director and found it to be extremely successful. People wanting to serve. One of the issues around America was, man, I thought the Peace Corps was only for the young college graduates, and that's clearly not the case. The Peace Corps, the only part of the law is that you have to be an American citizen, 18 years of age. But clearly the need in the country, host countries, is what drives who goes. And I thought that the baby boomers who now are retiring from various professions would be able to really serve in an effective way, and that has been the case. We've significantly increased the number of 50-plus people, and I think they had a real impact on the effectiveness of the Peace Corps around the world.
Ron Cheddar, you took the helm of the Peace Corps in 2006. You had served as a volunteer in the late 60s. I'm wondering how September 11th and the terrorist attacks on America changed the conversation in the Peace Corps, and what different concerns did you have in 2006? Because it's fairly early on where you're still really looking at how that might have an impact on sending Americans across the globe.
Yes, and that's a very good question, and it did have impact. And the impact, of course, was to pay more attention to the safety and security of the volunteers. We served in 74 different countries at that time, and certainly there were those countries that were had some of the possibilities of terrorism and so on that could impact a volunteer in a foreign country. So we really had to ramp up the safety and security initiatives for our volunteers in the countries we served in. So it did change the narrative. I think the Peace Corps has done a superb job of continuing with that narrative in a way that the volunteers are still able to openly serve and uniquely serve, but also be comfortable that they are safe and their families back home can be comfortable that they are kept safe as well. And so thus far, it's been a very positive experience.
This morning when people were asking questions, what do they want to know about the Peace Corps today? Did you see an enthusiasm for getting involved in the work that the Peace Corps does across the world? And did you see a lot of young folks asking, senior citizens or elders asking? Yeah. What was your experience this morning?
The demographics of the people that were in the morning fill-up was there were very few young people there. They were older people. There were some return volunteers that live here in Rapid City. I had no idea that they were here. So we had that kind of interchange, sharing experiences. And there were several people that at a later age in life, a later career time in their life, they were interested in the possibility of becoming Peace Corps volunteers. Some came up to me after the event to more privately speak about that and ask some personal questions. And so I found it to be very exciting to see that people still have a very keen interest in what the Peace Corps does, where they do it, and the effect that it can have on one and on the places where you might serve.
What do you want to say, or what do you say to folks who are curious about participating in Peace Corps work? What's your message to them?
I encourage them in any way that I can to give it deep consideration. I send them online to see all the issues and the questions. You can now basically carry through with your interest completely online with your application and selection process. It's a long, kind of an arduous process. It takes anywhere from 6 to 9 months for the whole thing to transpire. But I encourage people to give it serious thought. Go online and you can learn a lot about what the opportunities today are and where they are. And today you can even choose the country that you want to go to, which was not the case many years ago. So, there are people that are going to apply.
You've been listening to Ron Cheddar. He's former director of the U.S. Peace Corps. He spoke this morning at the NUMATS Group Morning Fill-Up, sponsored by the Bush Foundation. He joined us today from the SDPB studios in Rapid City. Ron Cheddar, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Laurie. It was a pleasure to be here.